You're very welcome.
All right. So, breakfast time, folks. What are you having this morning? Mark Bittman, author of the New York Times cooking column, The Minimalist, in its 11th year. I can't believe that. His cookbook, How to Cook Everything, is in its 10th anniversary edition. And he also writes the Bittman blog. Mark Bittman, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here, especially under these circumstances.
I mean, right, exactly. I mean, the sounds and smells of breakfast, there's almost nothing more evocative. I mean, for Americans, it's cereal. You've got milk here. I've got a quart of milk here.
Very nice. But I love that you have the snack box or whatever you call it.
It's the little one. Yeah,
I love
little,
that. I love that.
Yeah, they used to have. Used to be able to actually pour the milk directly into the box.
It was very fun.
Yeah, very fun. But you've broadened your notion of breakfast, and think Americans are really selling themselves short by staying in the sort of cereal and maybe occasionally bacon and eggs zone.
Well, bacon and eggs is savory. Something about the way I eat has always led me to enjoy savory breakfasts, and I think there was a real eye-opening moment about 15 years ago. I was in Bangkok, and they brought me a bowl of, at a quite fancy hotel, a bowl of the stuff called khao tum, which is essentially juk, the Chinese rice porridge, but really dressed up with sausage and fish and bacon and scallions and fish sauce. And I thought, this is breakfast of champions. To
really?
Eat a really big bowl of hearty stew at breakfast, to me, there's nothing better.
Well, we have a delivery, I believe. Leo Duran, our producer, is here in the studio. Also have Jennifer Hsu videotaping this for the website.
Hello there.
All right, so we've got some non-traditional breakfast alternatives here, Leo. What have you got for me here?
So you aren't just eating that kimchi. That's made with sort of anchovies.
Kimchi with anchovies.
But you're supposed to put that on top of this bibimbap.
Bibimbap. Oh,
bibimbap is a good breakfast. Bibimbap, the Korean rice dish with vegetables, sometimes fish or meat.
I think you've got some kebabs in there for me as well, right?
I do. And there's an egg on top of that, so it's sort of like breakfast.
And these are available in New York. Oh, look at it. Egg,
at six
sausage,
in the morning.
Six in the morning, fish. Now, what advantages, I'm going to taste this here, but what are the advantages of this kind of a breakfast nutritionally? And there are some healthy and not-so-healthy alternatives, I guess.
Well, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this. My new book is called Food Matters, and it's kind of about how we eat. And one of the things that people do at breakfast is they load up on either a lot of fat, i.e. Right. bacon and eggs, or a lot of sugar, i.e. breakfast cereal, or even worse, donuts. And if you look at the alternative as vegetables, if you can find a way to enjoy vegetables, as you seem to be doing now, John.
Yeah, this does not taste at all like sugar pops, the little anchovies
healthy,
and the kimchi.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or whole grains, which is essentially what the piece in the Times is about today, which is, an exploration of enjoying cornmeal, wheat berries, brown rice, bulgur, quinoa, etc. in the morning as alternatives to traditional breakfast cereals, or for that matter, steel-cut oats, but served, say, with soy sauce and scallions or with peanut butter and sriracha sauce. I mean, these are things that I know that some listeners right now are going, ooh, and others are going, huh, I got to try that.
Well, I'm doing the huh. Oatmeal with soy?
It's great.
And what else? Scallions?
A little chopped scallions. I mean, my mother used to eat cottage cheese with chopped scallions for breakfast, so it's not really that much of a stretch, at least for me. I mean, if you like salty food, if you like highly flavored food instead of, you know, I don't want to be insulting about sweet food, but it is kind of kid food in a way.
You know, it is.
Let's grow up and try some stuff that, you know, is less damaging, more beneficial, and has more complex flavors. I mean, that's my approach.
Why is dessert such a celebratory meal? I mean, it's the one meal where there's no dessert, but yet if my kids, you know, and my wife and I, if we're trying to figure out what to have for dinner, if we say, all right, how about scrambled eggs? You know, we can't come up with a solution. Or how about cereal? My kids go, yay! There's a certain celebratory quality to breakfast that I think almost is beyond the cuisine itself.
Well, I think that sugar is addictive. So,
right.
I mean, when I was a kid, man, if I couldn't get those sugar pops or those frosted flakes, I just didn't know what to do. There were years when I felt those things were essential to life. And I think, we all know you get a jolt from sugar, and we all like getting jolts. And I think that kind of kickstart to your morning is, I think it is addictive. And I think if you can work your way around that and say, what can I get that's got some protein, some fiber, some real bulk, some lasting energy? That's where all the dietitians tell us.
How's the kebab?
Go.
Dalji?
Kebab is looking good. I didn't want to put any in my mouth right now because I'm too busy sort of chewing on this naan bread. But I wanted to ask you, I mean, these things are kind of like easy to prepare. I mean, what I'm thinking is sort of like, you know, bulgur wheat and some of the other
bulgur
things.
Bulgur doesn't even need cooking. You soak it and it's done.
So you can just, it's easy enough to prepare. It's
dump hot water on it.
Yeah.
Right?
You dump hot water on it, you cover it, 15 minutes later, it's done. I mean, oatmeal, I've been doing this for a while, but I go through cycles. And about a year ago, I was in northern Italy in a friend's house, and he had this beautiful tapenade in his pantry. And I went to the local store and bought Quaker oats, which was hard to find, but I wanted that for breakfast. And the next morning, I made Quaker oats, and I thought about this wonderful tapenade, and I wound up having Quaker oats with tapenade.
That's a fabulous idea.
And olive oil, a drizzle of olive oil. Fantastic.
Can I say, delicious. Can I say, you look fabulous, by the way? I mean, I'm serious. You have lost so much weight. And in some sense, starting your day with this kind of breakfast, the high or the nutritional high is much longer lived than the sugar high from cereal. And I'm wondering if it has nutritional benefits and maybe has contributed to your staggering weight loss. You should do a diet book next.
Well, Food Matters is kind of a diet book. But I mean, I think it's true. If you have bulky whole grain kind of breakfast, you don't have the mid-morning lull. You make it to lunch much more easily. You feel better. You don't have those kind of peaks and valleys that are so well associated with sugar and, of course, coffee, which no one can live without, but oh well.
Yeah, I certainly can. What about the really unusual breakfast? You go to the Nikko hotels or you go to Japan or go to East Asia, the breakfasts are often, you know, seaweed and miso and, you know, really just something that doesn't even resemble a grain. How do those work for you?
Well, I remember the first time I had a Japanese breakfast, and it wasn't in Japan. It was in Los Angeles, which was as close as I'd been at that time. And I thought it was really exciting. I mean, to be brought this sort of like a tasting menu of a piece of salmon and some little seaweed chips and a bowl of miso soup and a little bit of rice with whatever bonito flakes or whatever. I mean, I love that stuff. But I think there are some people who are going to find this hard to swallow, no pun intended. But I think that there are a lot of people out, like I said, who are going, oh, this is interesting stuff. I'm going to think of it. Because I think if you sort of look at your diet and you say, what are the foods I like the most and how can I bring some of those into my morning? You know, I think you can eat better and you can eat happier.
Well, great thoughts about breakfast from Mark Bittman, author of the New York Times cooking column, The Minimalist, and his book, How to Cook Everything, just been revised and released in a 10th anniversary edition. One more thought about breakfast.
To eat at 6 o'clock. Isn't that bad for your stomach? I mean, they just ate 12 hours ago. My wife said, Bill, get out of that bed and go downstairs and cook breakfast for your children.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.